Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to episode 325 of Fourth and John. I'm Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Primo 13-2 maybe, and Mr. Hollis Thomas, aka Damn Skippy. Obviously, there's two things I hate in life. That's losing to the Cowboys, and number two, losing to the Cowboys. Obviously, I know the situation at hand. Jalen Hurts not playing. Regardless of the situation, I felt like you had a perfect opportunity to wrap this thing up in a nice little bow, just like we were waiting for presents on Christmas Eve. This is the present I was waiting for, but not only did we catch an L, we also caught some injuries. I thought a lot of self-inflicted gunshot wounds to our own Eagles claw or toe, whatever you have.
Don't summon it, bro.
It doesn't seem that you're good at making analogies. We took one to the beak right here.
We took one to the beak.
Red in the beak. They snagged some feathers out of our wings, but I think we'll recuperate from it. I'm disappointed in because some people chastised me. I showed faith in somebody who I should have just kept in the same box that I had him in the first place. I think we're all disappointed just because I felt like with Gardner, it was some things that we did, and I felt like we could have won this game. And it was just like you said, it was some self-inflicted. We was out there pulling our own talents out and making concessions and letting them stay in the game. I was like, I'm not no idiot though, because they paid to make plays too, and they just made the plays that they needed to make. I didn't want this to be one of sessions where we say we let them win. They beat us. It's like look at it, but they took the ball from us. And on those interceptions, they took the ball from us, and they beat us. They beat us just like we beat them with their backup quarterback. They beat us with our backup quarterback. Now it's 1-1. It's the next contest at full strength that I'm looking forward to. But we still have to talk about this mess that we've made that didn't have to be like this. I don't feel like it had to be like this, because my elephant in the room is 30-30, and I don't think that was being talked about enough, and this is why I don't like bend but don't break, and that was one of Jim Johnson's things. If you go back and look at the way, and he doesn't have to be like Jim Johnson, but in that situation, why would you let him stand back there and make concessions to even make that play? You get the ball out of the quarterback's hands and you get the guy down. It's fourth and forever. I say, but you ran a 4-man rush, which you've been doing. And then you didn't take into account either that your regular safety's not in there. Your regular guy's not in there. You got Josiah Scott in there, and he's looking in the backfield. He's a young buck. So it's I feel like hopefully this is a learning lesson for him. I'm getting tired of his learning lessons. And it's just one of the things where it's just typical Jonathan Gannon. Like, you're trying to get me to turn over last time. And this is what I mean with the pitfalls of bend but don't break. Bend but don't break. These are the pitfalls that we fall into. Because if you look at bend but don't break, we gave up drives of 14 plays, 13 plays, 8 plays, and 9 plays in that game with the bend but don't break mentality, and not using our guys. And I was like, I want Jonathan Gannon to do what's necessary, but he's not doing it. I don't think he has the technical fortitude to handle business. You tried to beat me down on the last show about being on the side about saying I was wrong about him, but it's like these are the type of moments where you expect him. It's like we have the advantage there. It's third and forever. You don't have to send 6 or 7. Send 5, so it'll be 1-on-1. And I guarantee you, at least 2 to 3 of our guys would have beat their ass. It's like, but you send us back there, well, one hand tied behind our back, 4-man rush. They got about 5 or 6 back there blocking us up. And that was really the turning point. To me, that was when I was like, we fucked right there. When we let them get that, I was like, man, shit. And I know everybody else had the same sentiment once they got that 30-30. Am I not correct? Hey, you guys can chime in
let me
finish over here.
Sorry about that.
I'm just trying to say that
mind, you know. Deepest apologies.
The whole thing of like, you know, is as much as we hate to lose, you know, it took 4 turnovers again for us to lose a football game. You talk about that Washington game, 4 turnovers. You talk about this game, 4 turnovers. So if this is what it takes for us to lose, we got to put a backup quarterback and get 4 turnovers. I'm feeling confident when Jalen comes back, we can right this ship and get on our merry way with this whole playoff situation. I think people are in a weird situation. Do we bring Jalen Hurts back? Do we let Gardner Minshew handle things? Are we now resting players, worried about players getting hurt? The whole thing with Lane Johnson, I know it's very scary. You know, we know he's all world at right tackle. Yeah. You know, Avante Maddox being out with a significant toe injury.
Toe injury, yeah. I saw that happen. It was brutal, too, because he had on those – I hate those one cleats, especially on the field turf. I don't know if you guys get a chance to rewind the play, because at first I kept rewinding the play. I was like, what the hell did he get hurt? And then I saw it when his toe – his toe just like bent like this, but it was kind of by itself. It was like, God, I see what happened. As soon as he sat down immediately, you know, that's why Deion Sanders has an amputated toe now because of that. You know that, right? Mm. That type of injury. Yeah. It's like it's brutal. That particular injury, especially the DBs and stuff, and that kind of like kicked us in the ass. And then somebody else went out. Did somebody else go out?
Lane Johnson.
Lane Johnson. Besides Lane, in our secondary.
No.
Nobody?
I don't think so, no.
Your boy Kevon Wallace made a play.
Stepped up.
That's right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, coming from that weekend, it was tough because it's coming off Christmas Eve. We go into that, and as soon as you know that Jalen Hurts is out, it takes a lot of wind out of your sails. You know, I went in there with kind of half confidence because Jalen is the guy. He's proven to be the key reason as to why we're winning games. But Gardner gave it all he had, man. I mean,
I like that too.
Yeah, he had some turnovers. He had the interceptions. He had the fumbles. He lost one of them. But I will say, like Gail said at the top of this, like this Dallas team is someone that the NFL has been pumping up. The media has been pumping up as they do every single year. And they're a good team. They legitimately are. But what I saw in this last game told me more about the Cowboys than this Eagles team. Because I saw a Cowboys team that we were in it until the final minute of that game. It was 40-34. We were one possession away from winning that bitch. If Gardner Minshew happens to see Devontae Smith in the end zone, we win that game, man. And we were that in that game with a backup quarterback while committing 4 turnovers. If Jalen Hurts plays that game, if we don't turn those balls over, because we know that Jalen Hurts isn't that type of quarterback, I think we win that game handily. Like, it's not even an issue. And so what that told me is that I genuinely think that this Cowboy team is frauds, man. They're good, but they're not good enough to compete in the postseason. I think they end up folding in the first round of the playoffs, and we don't see them again this year. I think that's legitimately what happens.
Listen, out of all of us, it was more rough for me. All right.
I believe it. I believe it.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, your brother. Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good game. It went all the way to the end. It was probably one of the top five greatest games that I got to sit down and watch with my brother. The trash talking was serious. I was definitely outnumbered there, you know, besides having my wife with me. There was like maybe about five or six Cowboy fans that we were, you know, talking trash to. And then, of course, I got nephews that show up that I didn't even know were Cowboy fans. Like, that's the sad part. Wow.
And you know what about that, Prime?
That frustrated me even more, man.
But, Prime, you know what about that? You know, Cowboy fans are like cockroaches. They weren't saying shit the last game. They was talking shit leading up to the game. But I couldn't find a single Cowboy fan. And this is to all you jackasses that tried to text message me after the game. And like I didn't text message you after we beat y'all with y'all backup quarterback because you guys were not at full strength. I was like, and I was just waiting to see how, and this is why they call Cowboys fans cockroaches, because they came creeping out their little hole trying to say, oh, we won, we beat y'all. They look like when Minnesota won the play-in game for old buddy Patrick Beverly jumped up on the table and tore his shirt off. Like, they had just won a title. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, if y'all are happy about a game where we turned the ball over four times and you guys won by 7 points with our backup quarterback, good luck with you. Good luck with that.
Just the thing. You let it go. But at the same time, it's kind of, like, frustrating to take. You know, what I was getting at was just that, like, regardless, a lot of these the fan bases on both ends was just ridiculous that night. They beat a backup quarterback, but it was still a game that we lost. You know, we beat ourselves with the four turnovers. That hurt. You know, and watching the game with my brother, he was just like shitting on Devontae Smith the whole time because he can't stand Devontae Smith. So I asked him, what is it about Devontae Smith you can't stand? I mean, that boy is a legit wide receiver. So what is your argument here? And he's like, oh, that he's cocky. You know, he thinks he's the baddest. And I looked at him like, where did you get that from? I was like, did you look at your player? Your player, CeeDee Lamb, he's cocky. He's the one that I can't stand. All that getting up and putting your shoulders and this stupid shit. Like, what is all that for? Dude, you're scared to line up on the outside. You were in the slot the whole game, okay? Avante Maddox was in that game shutting you down. He got hurt. So y'all take advantage of Josiah Scott. Mind you, Josiah Scott, next man up mentality. He obviously didn't have that mentality that game.
No, he didn't.
Because he was assed out. He really was. The third and 30, I mean, it was both ways. It was on Slay. It was on Josiah Scott Slay, no matter what. Dude, you're in the league long enough, you know you can't let somebody like that run right by you. But then you got to remember, your over-the-top help is not who you started the game off with. Your over-the-top help is somebody that just came in. So you got to go ahead and have that in the back of your mind. That's why you have a coach. But then Josiah Scott ran that route the wrong way. His angle was bad. You go look at that play. His angle was so bad. So, mm-hmm. I mean, hey, and then T.Y. Hilton got all excited because he got one play for 52 yards, and then you don't hear nothing about him for the rest of the game. So it's just like those are the things that were just starting to get frustrating. But back to the Devontae CeeDee Lamb comparison. All right, the part that I just don't understand is, like, they were both, you know, hands-on. They were both with the same stats. 8 for what, 113 yards, and then you had CeeDee Lamb 10 for 120 yards. Each with two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So, dude, if you're gonna go ahead and praise CeeDee Lamb, you better go ahead and respect my boy Devontae Smith, because he was definitely doing his thing. The Slim Reaper was doing his thing. Yeah. So it's just like I just still don't get his whole argument about that. But, you know, I mean, we'll talk more as the show goes on. Yeah. I don't want to be a Hollis. I mean, I'm sorry.
No worries, Dick Cheney.
I think the biggest thing about this weekend is I think we put a lot of as Eagle fans, we pour a lot of emotion into everything. But I think because it was Christmas Eve, everyone's watching. It was a big game. Your whole family's watching. Everyone's locked in. You're just like, just give me this dub so we can just go on our merry way. And then the fact that you catch the L and then you get the injuries. I think the injuries to me was more I was just like, you know what? Because this injury with Lane Johnson, as they're saying, it's a abdominal tendon tear. I think it's a sports hernia. We know, these injuries, sports hernia type injuries, they're very tricky. We saw DJX try to come back from one. We saw Donovan.
What's an abdominal tear? I don't think it's a. I don't think it's what it's a cartilage thing, and that's as you get a little older, your body. When you're waning in your waning years, sometimes you don't have the same oomph that you used to, and you tend to strain your abdominal muscles. But it's like the rib cartilage; it kind of pulls away. And you can see the way he was trying to get up that's kind of what it was. Because I've had the abdominal tear, and I've had the rib thing happen late in my career twice, and it happened on the same thing I saw him doing trying to swat a cowgirl. and the rest of his body didn't go with him, and he just went down like a ton of bricks. So I think it's more than I think he can heal from it. I was like, but it's gonna depend on his pain tolerance level.
That's gonna be a tough one. You don't normally see Lane down. If he's down and out, it's a reason. So I mean, what are you more concerned about, Lane Johnson's injury versus Avante?
I think that they're both massive, honestly. But if I had to pick one against the other, I'm going to have to lean towards Lane Johnson's injury, just based off the fact that, I've heard talks about bringing Jordan Mailata over to the right side and then putting in Andre Dillard at left tackle. Shaking your head. And to me, that sounds like a disaster. But realistically, things didn't seem too optimistic based off of the latest CJ Gardner-Johnson interview. Mm-hmm. For him to be available for next week. But if he is available, if we could drop him down the slot and then have my man Ed Reed Blankenship playing safety, I think would be all right.
That's actually a pretty good look. But I think the Avante Maddox one is more of a concern, because I trust Stout guy. I trust Jeff Stoutland to have Jake Driscoll ready.
I trust Jeff Stoutland for development of players, but that's also a long-term process. Dillard has been he's been a work in progress for a while, and he just
I'd rather hopefully they do what they did in this game and put Jake Driscoll in there, because Jake is a guy. I'm sorry, it's like when you look at it, it's the reason why up to this point Andre Dillard hasn't played. Both tackles have missed some significant time, and he has yet to enter. That's why you got the other guys. I trust Jake way more than I trust Big Puddin. I'm sorry. And I trust Jeff Stoutland. I trust him to do what it takes to at least until we get to the playoffs and we get more full force. But for right now, you get these guys some quality reps, but you have to make concessions for them like you normally would. So those tight ends, Jack and the other guy, they're going to be just like Brent Celek was. You remember when we went to the Super Bowl with Brent Celek? He was pretty much the offensive tackle outside of Vitae, with good reason. So you have to make concessions, and you have to do things like that in order to win a game. So I'm looking for them to do something like that more than anything. But the Avante Maddox would kind of – you saw what we could be with Avante Maddox in there. It's just like when you get that Ferrari, and every time you pull off the driveway, the damn speakers blow out. It's like, well, I can't drive this. Nobody's going to hear my music. So
when he went down, I know he wanted to celebrate, and then he got up and he was like, something don't feel right. And I'm like, and then you see him walking off without his shoe, and after the game he was in a walking boot. I was just like, you know what? He was having a phenomenal first quarter. I was like, Tay-Tay is back. So, watching Jordan Davis, he got hit with Sweat that hit him on that one play?
Yeah, Josh Sweat. Yeah, it was what they call friendly fire. Josh Sweat was coming around, and he was going to bang down, and the dude. It was brutal too.
Josh Sweat's been a man on fire though, man.
Yes, he has.
Last five games got 7.5 sacks. I mean,
damn,
he's been tearing shit up. He just, you know, sometimes he can't turn the blinders off. He just fucking heat seeking missile.
Yeah, and it's like you, but as a big dog in the middle, he's gonna learn who to know where they at all times. Because you had to, on defense, you had to know where Dawkins at, you had to know where Keith Adams at, and you always had to know where Trotter was at, because when they got there, they was hitting somebody, so it was just like, it's like you had to know where those guys at and know when to say when.
Bob brings up an interesting name from the depths of preseason. I remember hearing about great development with Zach McPherson. Are you guys kind of surprised how much time that Josiah Scott has gotten on the field in comparison to Zach? Considering, I mean, we heard how well he developed this offseason.
If they're looking for some twitch, I think maybe Josiah might have him beat in that category. But last game.
It makes me think about what Hollis said about Andre. A lot of people have been hurt. They haven't been putting him in. Same thing goes for Zach. A lot of people have been hurt. They haven't been putting him in. So I see what Bob's getting at, but I mean, it's just a question you got to ask yourself. If Zach McPherson is somebody that we can consider, why haven't they been giving him some PT? That's the only question I'm asking.
I mean, I do want to give – he did come up with one big play where our corner Reed ran into Slay, and then Josiah came back and made a nice play on that play. But
when you know exactly how many plays he made, that's not too good. but it's just like what Prime was saying, when we had breakdowns in the as far as like guys getting hurt, and you notice they go to Josiah Scott first. It's like he's got to be apparently he's the better guy. So, but Josiah can play safety and corner. But you know, I think they got his head spinning too much, and they need to delegate him to one thing, because I think sometimes that he's in there, and he doesn't know whether he's playing safety or corner.
Yeah.
So it's how young he is. Go ahead.
I have to address I've been actively ignoring it in the comment section, but I have to address your brother just this one time. And he said, Gail, one question for you. If you guys happen to lose on Sunday, do you feel comfortable about playing the Giants in a must win? Hey, Will, just so you remember, you guys are on must wins for the next 2 weeks as well, if you want the top spot. So
don't worry
about
us, sucker.
Worry about your own, bro.
We are not losing this Sunday. Obviously, I think Jalen Hurts is going to be playing this game. I think he could have played last game.
I think so too.
When we made that bet, we were in a thinking that Jalen Hurts was playing.
Yeah.
He knows that. You don't got to go explain it yourself.
Okay.
Let me tell you, and bro's watching. Bro knows that bet got declined ever since they announced Minshew, because he damn knows well, him sitting next to me on Sunday, he even got up and was like, oh, shit, I hate the moments like this when we kept running the ball down the field. And, you know what I mean? He wasn't in the back of his mind.
Tells me he wouldn't be in the comment section right now if we went with the back.
And I already knew that no matter what, the bet wasn't even going to go his way, because the first thing he would have said is, no, I'm not wearing no Eagle stuff, because y'all said if Jalen Hurts plays,
yeah.
I would have. Yeah. So he knows the deal, but we all good. But let me just make this very clear, bro. Win your playoff game and come and see us. We're good. We're fine. Stop worrying about us. Right. Win your playoff game, because if you really want us, come and see us. Because I really want you guys to come and see us. And then it's going to mean something. Jalen Hurts versus Dak Prescott. No excuses from either fan bases. Let's just get it on. There it is.
Yep. Kyle says they did put up 40 on us, though. Tank Sky Gannon had a great game plan.
That's not Tank Sky, Kyle. Kyle, don't get me started, Kyle.
Big fan jail left the building because he got recruited by Sean Payton.
We did get
the field position too.
We did get live footage of someone took a snapshot of Tank and Jonathan Gannon during the play there. He had him upside down.
I mean, while we're on the topic, why don't we bring up the thing that was just a real kick in the groin, the 3rd and 30, man. I mean, Jesus.
I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now you saying I should make concessions for I should go with Jonathan Gannon because hold on.
Did I say Jonathan Gannon's like, perfect?
No, not to act like a dick, wrong. But so when what the thing that I'm saying is that in those situations, even the bend but don't break is cool to a certain extent. But when you have a situation like that, and you have a quarterback that could do what Dak Prescott could do, when you give him time, rushing four while they have five or six back there, it's not the thing. You rush five. I wanted at least five. I wanted to rush at least five to get my guys, because I know at least three of our guys would have won in that situation. But when you got guys bumping them off and passing off pass protection, and he's getting the protection he needs, and you got that guy out there running that one route that they signed him to run, and he catches it, and it's like, oh, God. As soon as he caught that, it was like, I know I'm not the only one that was like, oh, shit, you got to be shitting me.
Well, reaction from Slay as soon as they asked him the question. Slay's usually a jovial dude, and I think the way he was using his words were he was trying to protect with the words, but then you could see he was frustrated. And then he just said, you know, guys just got to do their job. But I do think if you're playing as a safety, you know, you got to be the deepest man on the field. And
he said the guys have to do their job. Because sometimes when you know you have over-the-top help, it's different concessions that you make so that you don't have to be that close to dude. It's like if you got the over-the-top guy, that you're the safety. You're the last line of defense. Nobody should get behind you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Like, I don't care what nobody says, even though Josiah Scott is young, he should know better. And the other part of that, two is that he should have never been in that situation. Giving him going from playing corner for Avante Maddox to have to move to safety, the coach should have did what any other sensible coach would have done. You send five or six and make him get the ball out of his head quickly and get him on the ground. Make it fourth and forever. So they're punting. And the next thing you know, we're winning the game. I felt like that was the most crucial turning point of the entire game. So
now, Brian brings up a comment. Dak picked the Eagles D apart in zone when it was man, was a whole different story. I do have that stat right there. That's pretty interesting. Dak Prescott was 24 for 24 for 300 yards and three TDs versus zone coverage, 3 for 11 for 47 yards and 0 TDs and a pick six versus man coverage. So, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you talk about putting your players in the best position to win. At what point was Gannon going to realize that he's doing a disservice to his guys? I think Gannon, you know, this whole idea of, you know, the Mike Tyson, you know, once you get punched in the mouth, you like all plans go out the door. Like you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan, Gannon, when you come in the playoffs. It's time right now. Like this regular season for the playoffs, you got to get your shit together.
I'm asking a question. Did he go zone coverage after Avante went down?
I think it's a little bit, but it's like, but you got Josiah Scott in there, who's a corner and a safety, and he's a pretty good guy.
Well, he's always playing zone.
But I understand that. But if you go man-to-man with CeeDee Lamb, Josiah Scott, CeeDee Lamb, do you trust that? Is that the reason I'm asking?
You could travel one of your great-ass safeties.
I'm just asking the question.
This is where I'll say that I don't feel like we were prepared. Because even though sometimes we run in zone coverages, we should have had some zone pressures. Zone pressures are not – it's like – you know that four people are coming. You just don't know which four people are coming. It tricks the offensive line, and it tricks the quarterback too. And he holds the ball just a little bit longer. So you put guys who are good rushers and good blitzers. You put them in position to get a hit on the quarterback or make him get rid of the ball faster. We don't have any of that. Like if we're gonna zone it up, you need to send some zone pressures. They're not zone blitzes because you're not sending more. You're just sending four. We have outside linebackers that could be defensive ends. And you can put those guys out there, and sometimes you can drop them. Not a situation where they're the only defensive end out there, but when you put a lot of the guys out there, and you're able to do things and make concessions for zone where you have to run zone until you realize that man is the only thing that's stopping him from doing what he needs to do. Like man under. I think we was running man under was our best coverage. It's like every time we ran zone, it seemed like they found a little hole, or our guys were not paying attention and communicating to each other, mainly because there's a lot of different guys, a lot of young guys. Communication is the key in zone. In, out. Those are like when a guy's leaving my zone, he's coming to your zone. You have to hear that. The linebackers have to hear that. And it's like, I don't think that's been going on. Like, for instance, one of the blitzes that we ran, it looked like it took it so damn long to get there because we never do it. It's like, you have to practice these things, man. You can't practice bend but don't break all the time. Because in these situations, you end up breaking against good teams. You end up breaking against good teams. As good as our defense, if we felt that at times our defense played, the bend but don't break thing is kind of what killed them. We didn't do anything.
Can't we at least acknowledge that with the turnovers, four of them that we had, right. I understand what you're saying with the bend but don't break, but if you're starting on your own side of the field, you don't have much room to bend to begin with. So, I mean, there's that.
Exactly. That's why you put them on notice and kick their ass and make them kick field goals. Bend but don't break only gets, in the immortal words of Jim Johnson, bend but don't break gets your ass fired.
My point is our offense wasn't putting our defense at a good point, in a good position to succeed.
But you win as a team and you lose as a team. We gave up 40 points. Our offense put up 34.
I honestly had in the back of my mind as I'm watching the game, I was worried about the defense getting tired out. Going back to the Sweat interception, it was a great play. Got very excited, hyped up. But then when I sat down, I'm like, shit, defense was just on the field. They look like they're going to go ahead and get a little bit, you know what I mean, tired and stuff. Like, you look for plays like that. You get excited for plays like that. But then at the same time, it's like, shit, you're still dragging out the defense. Right. Offense at times, you know what I mean, especially with the turnovers, as soon as the defense just went through a long struggle to go ahead and stop these guys, you went and turned the ball over by the second play. It's like, shit, you brought the defense back on. Now, again, you're getting them tired. So it was just like, those are the things that I was only worried about as I was watching that game.
So they didn't work, they didn't work hand in hand like they should have. And that was the one thing that I thought as well. Go ahead, Gail.
No, you think about the turnovers and the offensive unit, you're thinking about, you know, you're still in it to win it, but three of the last five opportunities, you turn on the ball. You know, like, especially you guys know that you have Gardner Minshew in there. You're trying to give him the best opportunity to succeed. And, you know, obviously he was part of one of the turnovers with Boston Scott.
Right.
But again, it is what it is.
He's part of three of the turnovers.
I mean, I mean, I'm just saying.
If Quez gets his ass in the weight room,
I'm surprised. That was my next point. I was literally just about to bring up.
God, yeah.
So we are 31 minutes into this episode, and we haven't talked about Robin yet, man. The biggest glaring thing that's going on in our wide receiving room right now, man. And it's not like, let's look at the two losses we have all season. What's common in both of them is a crucial Quez Watkins fumble. Both games. Dude, he's killing us, man. He's a guy that's got speed. He can stretch the field. He demands respect and he's able to make the safeties get vertical. Jesus Christ, he can't hold on to the ball. It's detrimental. It's killing our offense, and I can't have him as a wide receiver three, man. It's killing
I still like him.
No, bump Pascal up.
No, I don't. Quez's speed is over Pascal. I like Pascal to a certain extent.
I like that he held onto the ball. Yeah, that's my favorite part of Pascal.
Did he have? He had a catch.
He did.
Did he? Okay.
And he held onto it.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
It's one of the things with Quez Watkins is you have to know who when you can't when you send him in there like that, you have to know who he is. He weighs 75 pounds.
So? So Devontae Smith weighs 170 pounds.
That's the Slim Reaper, though. It's a distinct difference.
I mean, your point was weight. Your point was weight.
Devontae Smith is strong and tall.
And I'm 170 pounds.
Go ahead.
But I'm also talking about, I mean, who's like Devontae Smith is Devontae Smith. I think what you'd like to see out of Quez is from the route running aspect, and coming back to the and fighting for the football. Because, I mean, you see.
He wins on routes, though. And he gets the ball in his hands, and then it's no longer in his hands. That's the issue. I need the grip strength up, man. I need the grip strength up.
Yeah, I mean, that is just tough. Because, I mean, you got guys got like Dallas. Got Dallas Goedert, you got AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, and now you're trying to I'm not gonna say you force the quest, like, because if the guy's open, that's the right read. So yeah, it's just a matter of coming down with the ball.
The dude was literally right there.
Let's talk about the first one. Was not the dude was on his back. Can we
on his back? We can agree on that.
Can we agree on that?
We can agree on that. But why throw it there? But why throw it there?
And then you miss. And then you missed him on a clear touchdown that we had to take a field goal for. So Evan, you know, there's enough blame to go around. So
But Evan, you know, we were texting each other. Evan, you know, we were texting each other. He had a lot of air on those passes. A lot of air on those passes that he was making.
Yeah, no, you know I mean? I will say that Gardner Minshew, there was a few balls he threw up there. I was like, that is
that's what
lame.
I'm saying. Like, not to mention,
I want to also point out there that we have been so privileged to watch just how smooth of a runner that Jalen Hurts is all year. That I saw Gardner Minshew take off. I was like, he looks like a baby giraffe. What is going on? He's just flailing all his limbs all over the place.
Yeah, did you see Ed when he was faking like he was going to run the pass? It's like, right.
Yeah.
and the thing was, and then when he took it and ran the one time, I think he got a yard. I was like, oh, God, that's God awful. And, but it's like, when you look at it, it's like we got to ask it.
It's just, man.
We got to ask it, man.
The Quez thing is what I'm just sitting here. And I'm not putting it – we lost that – gave up 40 points. I mean, that's not Quez's fault. But the way that I just looked at, you know, at crucial points in both of our losses this season, it's Quez the Watkins connection, man. Don't be calling me. Don't be calling him Batman around
me. Well, I mean, there's also four turnovers on top of that. You get at least two, and we still win. I believe we still win the game. But overall,
if we got that second one, game over.
Yeah, I mean, the two that we didn't – need was the Boston Scott handoff and the Miles Sanders. You take those two away, I agree with you. We win that game. You know, I mean, forget about the two that he threw into coverage to Quez that got intercepted, and then the one that Quez, you know, didn't fight for. You know, I agree with Evan. The Robin came out and not the Batman. So it was just like, you know, you stick with those two. Okay, we eat them up, and then we go ahead and continue the game with the game plan that we've been playing, and we'll win that game. But
In the Batmobile, Quez. Yeah,
unexpectedly, you get a handoff, you know what I mean, that Minshew and Boston Scott weren't on the same.
Sounds like you guys want to give Quez a bat bitch slap.
Well, I just think, you know, it's about doing the little things. Like, if I'm Sirianni, I'm talking to Quez about, like, all right, let's like, you know, all play strength is not equal when you talk about guys like A.J. Brown and Quez Watkins. There's a big difference there, but I think, you know, in terms of doing the little things, being more crispy at the top of your routes, coming down and just really fighting for that ball, like, that's something you got to, you know, it's just, we've seen him do it. It's not like
it's kind of like if you look at the game, it was like attention to detail. I don't think guys were like in tune, and it's like Drew, I don't trust your side, Scott, either, but not after the last game. But you look at some of the turnovers, it's like, the guys didn't seem like they had a sense of urgency like they normally do. I don't know if you guys can see that and sense that like I sensed it. It's like they were there to play, but it's like they didn't have the sense of urgency. Like when they took the first pick away, I was like, come on, man. And then the other part, the other one too, was when we sacked the second time, one of the times we sacked Dak Prescott, and we could have had the game, we could have iced the game from there. We didn't, we were celebrating instead of getting the rock. Uh-huh. They're celebrating by the sack. It's like, instead of getting the rocket, it's like, oh, man, come on. And it was just like, as I looked at the game, you start looking at it more. It was like, we didn't deserve to win because we should have kicked their ass.
Yeah.
They came out and they had it. And and this is why I know we should have kicked their ass. I don't know if you guys remember when they, before they ran one of the touchdowns that Gardner Minshew got, the play before, they didn't get any yards. And they put the camera on DeMarcus Lawrence. He's like, bring it. Hey, you know the next play. They brought it. And they kicked his ass onto the Dallas Star. I don't know if you guys saw that. To me, that was funny because you're talking all this crap. Talking about bring it. And you know what they're running. They're down there. And he stood up like the Statue of Liberty and got thrown out the club. So, but it was like one of those games where I don't feel like we paid attention to detail. The other part too is like I felt like Jonathan Gannon could have did just a little bit better, just a little bit better. It's like, especially on that 30-30, I'm not going to give him time to get 30 yards on me. I'm heating his ass up. I know he's got some type of blitz in that bend, but don't break book. And those are the things that you do that you're supposed to make a play where you stand up as a defense and get your offense the ball back and let the offense take some time off the clock. But we didn't do that.
Now listen again and speak today. It sounded like he was trying to take the biggest take it all on his back. And I would love to be a fly on the wall with Lurie, talking again and about what he saw or, what Howie saw or what, Sirianni told him. But I think at the end of the day, you just got to put your players in a better position to win moving forward. I think.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I think moving forward towards the Saints, I just think you got to be focused. I think just this whole, I think we got this all this drama with Jalen Hurts being, I think there was just a lot of moving parts. It's fucking Christmas Eve. It's your third away game. There's a short week. There's a lot going on, but they took the L. They're not making excuses, but I think now you're at home. You can get it done. All you got to do is win against the Saints while also improving the draft pick. I mean, let's get it done this week. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I'm really hoping that I'm expecting that Jalen Hurts is playing. I mean, it hasn't become official yet, but I think just based off of how he was throwing the ball after he got injured in that Bears game, I think he was good to go this week, honestly, and they just didn't want to test it, risk it. But I really would much rather win this week versus the Saints than be in a possible position where we have to potentially win versus the Giants in order to clinch that last week of the season. I mean, we've come this far. We've been this dominant all season long. I would hate to go into the playoffs with poor momentum like that.
And Evan, it puts us in a better draft position.
Exactly.
If we win, it puts us in a better draft position with the Saints. We get the Saints pick. I think too, it's like I thought that he was going to play. I thought that they were letting him do interviews and stuff. So I'm thinking that they're going to let him play and stuff. But then like that one day it came out, I was like, ain't that a kick in the head? Mm-mm. I was like, man. So it's like I wanted Gardner Minshew to do well. I think they did too. I think they wanted him to play mainly because of Mike Leach dying, passed away, and mm-hmm. he did the speech down there and him feeling,
He threw for 355 yards.
Exactly. He got a showcase because he's a unrestricted free agent next season. So at least he got to show what he could do. If Jalen can't go this week, we'll see what he can do this week. I think we'll be better prepared this week. So
given a full training camp in a new team, looking around the league, like you look at teams like Houston and stuff like that, Gardner could be a starter in this league.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think his resume is fine after what he did.
Yeah, it's like I think he could now. It's like he but he, see the one thing is he had an opportunity down in Jacksonville. It's like, so you kind of got to see what he could do with somebody that's, you know, used to winning. I was like, so you have to get like a big portion size, because the people are backups for a reason. The main reason people are backups is because they aren't consistent on a giant size basis.
And the world comes full circle too, because I mean, the guy that he ended up off the bench replacing was our Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking for a comment in the, it was from Molly. If I can find it, but I was thinking this during the game, towards the end of the game, mm-hmm. you know, they're moving the ball. Like you're like, wow, they have a chance to actually take this game back. So there's that point in time where they, instead of calling a timeout, they spike the ball. And I felt like I would have rather them, you know, call the timeout to get them in a better situational to succeed. Like I feel like they're, you know, down. Yeah. I was just like, just call a timeout. Let them think it through. You know, mm-hmm. obviously you want to have that timeout, but I'm just saying, yeah. like for Minshew in the whole offensive unit, just yeah. let them be at ease for a second yeah. and then go into it. What do you guys think on that?
No, I agree. I also remember a play where I almost wish that they – I think it might have been on the final drive where I wish that they would have spiked it. And he had look at the complete opposite, and they ended up just mm-hmm. running a play to quickly try and get something in. But I agree with you. I mean, I think especially considering you're dealing with a backup quarterback, you want to make sure everybody is on the same page at that point in the game, at any point in the game, but especially mm-hmm. when the clock is ticking down. So I agree with you.
And then what you're talking about is like you have a backup quarterback. It's not your regular guy that's in there.
Exactly.
So you want to get all of that. You want to get everything right. And it was like, when I saw it, I was kind of pissed. Cause I was like, let's call the timeout. Mm-hmm. It was like, you got to score a touchdown anyway. Just call the timeout. What Chris Thames think?
I mean, he said, you know, with they catch a dub with him in there, you know? So, I mean, the whole MVP conversation now is all like, we talked about this pre-show, but I think Jalen Hurts, they just don't want Jalen Hurts in the conversation. Yeah, obviously.
Wanted him in the conversation the whole time, even when he wasn't injured.
They've been hating on that man ever since the beginning.
I mean, you look at just like – and I never give any, like, you know, credence to any of them, because all it is just people just trying to get clicks, trying to get people to click on their articles. But you see the power rankings that come out every week, and, like, any little slip-up that comes up, you just – like, they're itching for any reason to take the Eagles out of the top spot. I saw something earlier today that the NFL Network, they put four teams up there as, like, most likely – to win their conference, and you know, of course, Eagles are just left out of the grab. Let's just ignore the team with the best record in the league. That's the embodiment of our team, though. I mean, you remember the fucking the dog masks during the 2017 yeah. run? Everybody got behind and rallied behind the whole underdog story and mentality, and we're right back there, man. That's
so. Is this where you guys want to be right now? Be the underdog,
dude. We were the one seed in 2017, going into the playoffs as underdogs. I'm down for the same result.
This is nothing new to us. So it's like, why even get butthurt about it? Like, hey, it is what it is. We're accustomed to them having doubt on us, doubt on the team. So it's like, hey, all right, whatever. You want to go ahead and doubt us? No problem. We'll show you in the long run who's going to be on top. That's it.
Thank you. It's like it's better to have the chumps doubting us than to have them on our side. Because when somebody's on your side, you start thinking like, "Hey, is this what the hell?"
Like you're trying to jinx me.
Yeah, you try. Not either trying to jinx me, or it's just like undue bullshit. So it's like I don't. When they talk about us, I notice all of the disdain. It's only a few people that be cut for us actually. So and I'm glad that they cut for us, and it's the people that are reputable, and they do what I like to call, they tell the truth. It's like, if you tell the truth, like I always, like since I've been doing the media stuff, I always tell the truth about the Cowboys. Like mm-hmm. I told them, the Cowboys ain't going nowhere until they change their coaching staff. Kellen Moore is not the damn answer. I'm sorry. It's like they keep recycling these little dumbass coaches. They had Jason Garrett there forever. It's like, but every time you look at it, they're always going to throw themselves out of the game. They got two good running backs now, and they were running the ball down our throat, and they stopped running and started throwing.
I also think it's hilarious. I mean, the Wicked One brings up the exact power rankings thing that I saw earlier. It was by I forget his name. I want to say Michael Hanzus, but he used to play for the Flyers. That the 49ers were number one in the power rankings and us at number two. And, like, that is just absolutely comical to me. I mean, they have their starting quarterback go down. They have literally Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft, as their top guy now. And what's he won? He's won, like, three or four games. Isn't that the exact same thing that Cooper Rush did and everybody was fawning over Cooper Rush earlier in the year?
Yeah, but
he might be the guy over Dak Prescott. And then what happened? And then he stepped into an Eagles buzzsaw, and then all of a sudden reality got kicked in. Like, are we not doing the same exact thing with Brock Purdy? The 49ers defense is great.
Thank you.
The 49ers defense might be better than ours.
That's what I was about to say. The defense and the playmakers. And you have to look at the play caller, too. You have to look at the play caller. The play caller, he's not doing anything that he's putting Purdy in the proper positions. Mm-hmm. And that's what was like. When you have a coach, we're supposed to talk about it later on, the Neil Hackett stuff, the Nathaniel Hackett crap. We have a coach that knows how to call plays and knows how to call them for specifically you, then you will have success. That's pretty much what the 49ers are dealing with right now. They got Mr. Irrelevant, but I followed the kid in college. He was good at Iowa State. So it was he got drafted as Mr. Irrelevant, but he made the squad. They put it this way: they cut Nate Sudfeld, who they guaranteed $2 million.
Study.
Yeah, they cut him to keep the Purdy.
Yeah.
So and then he was guaranteed $2 million. So you know they had to do something. They called him Baby Bosa because his thighs are the same size as the defensive end Bosa.
maybe another quarterback in the NFC that squats 600. I don't know.
Possibly. But I don't. But I just like him because he does exactly what he needs to do, and he doesn't make the mistakes. And that's pretty much all you can ask for in a quarterback.
And I will honestly say, I know somebody that's a 49ers fan, and I was talking with him recently. I was like, I have to tell you, man, it is frustrating as hell to watch from the outside in that you guys seem to have a plug and play quarterback system where no matter who you stick in there. Kyle Shanahan is a good coach, and he's able to scheme up a good, successful game plan for really whoever he sticks in at quarterback. I mean, we've seen it through multiple guys.
Yeah, but it's like when you have a run first where you don't have the you don't give the QB a chance to mess up.
They added CMC too. I mean, that's huge.
Oh yeah, that is huge.
Now, Anthony says, please let us win this week just to shut these fools up until the playoffs.
Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to win. Like, I think you're in a perfect scenario. You know, you get a dub. You can rest players against the Giants. And then it's two games. It's two games at home to get to the Super Bowl. Obviously, you're not going to look. We're not the players at this moment. We're not going to look look past games, whatever, but
right.
Two games and you're in the Super Bowl at home with the Link crowd will be popping. Are you guys buying tickets to the playoff games? Everybody. Yeah.
I'm buying parking lot. Fucking.
you're not going to sell an organ for this.
Yeah. Gail's always quick to put everybody on the spot, man.
I'm just saying, I want to know. Cause I have potential to get some tickets. So
who's
calling up for the
exactly.
ticket?
You got our numbers. We can talk about this.
I'll be doing a pregame show. I'll be down in Wildwood doing my pregame show.
See, Jordan's buying tickets. I mean, it's definitely I think those tickets are going to be up there.
Well, we making the playoffs.
You think? I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers game was going for like $400 a ticket during the regular season versus an ass Pittsburgh team. You think that these Eagles tickets in the playoffs as a number one seed are going to be high?
See,
high as a kite.
Now Andrew was saying, put your fandom where your show is.
Well, amen.
Oh, he put you on blast.
That's true. I mean, maybe if the show was
yeah, I'm definitely going to be
training,
there. So.
That's my boy from Base Training.
I'm definitely going to be there.
That's BASE Training.
Deb says she's going on Sunday.
Deb.
Bird also, game. I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying that they were going.
Nice.
JC Conkle says take ever Eagles game this weekend, and he asked me, Dad, are we tailgating? And he said, my response is, hell yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are.
Now, Hoagies and Birds, she said, this is literally so exciting. I've been following your posts for so long and always dreaming of going to my first game and tailgating. This game can't come soon enough. Oh, she's going to the Giants game. And then Big Mike said, they will treat you like VIP. They did for my son and I. Great times with great people. Shout out to you, Big Mike, man. But yeah, we will be tailgating this weekend. I know, you know, yes, Tank, where are you out in the cold? Are you too bougie these days?
Well,
you got your little fur coat inside.
Well, not. What do you know? You know, I'll be for the playoff game, for the rest of the Eagles games. I don't know. I told you guys I'll be at this place called the Mud Hen.
That's fine. We're asking you about this Sunday.
This Sunday I'll be. That's the first time.
You're going to start this Sunday.
Yeah, starts this Sunday.
So there's the answer. He's bougie. He's bougie.
Because I'm doing a radio show. You're leading bougie. Up. I'm garnering other Birds fans to watch our Birds go out and play. I'm going to be in Wildwood on the coast. Okay. Yeah, Wildwood on the 98.7.
Bougie. Bougie.
While you're down in Wildwood, I got a spot, best wings you'll ever have.
Okay.
Cattle and Clover.
And as for that bougie barbecue.
Don't worry, I'll be at the Mud Hen. I don't care about your bougie comments. That money talk bullshit runs the marathon.
AJ says Tank is busy. Yes. Hey, I know we started off with a bang talking about the game and everything, but how was everyone's Christmas? Everyone had a good time?
It was a lot better than the Christmas Eve. I mean, considering what happened with the game and everything. But yeah, the Christmas was really nice.
It was good all around, man. Regardless of what the outcome was, it was good all around.
Hold on. Both of y'all was like, it's kind of like both of y'all needed appendicitis surgery. It's like,
it was one of those things though. that if the Eagles. I could have almost, and it sounds weird to say, if the Eagles had come out there and Gardner Minshew just wasn't it, and he was just playing poorly the entire game, I would have just walked away like, listen, you know, like, Gardner ain't it. That wasn't us. The fact that we were in that game to the last minute just hurt that much more, you know?
I just got sick. Remember we were just talking about people not giving the Birds the respect. So the one, I got some clickbait for you. From the Herd, he was talking about time to pump your brakes on the Eagles. Congratulations to the Eagles for winning September, October, and early November. Now, the girl that's on that show with him, she said, let's just come out and say it. You guys don't want to give Jalen Hurts the MVP. Thank you, Katie.
She came out and said, you guys don't want to give him the MVP.
Yes.
That's that girl Taylor? Yeah.
Yeah, she came out and said that you don't want to give him the MVP because you're making concessions for everybody else. And then you start talking about, is Jalen a system quarterback? I was like, what?
I hope you're feeling better, man. That sounds kind of crazy.
What's that?
Cozy says he was in the ER.
A nail go through his foot.
Damn, Cozy.
Damn, what the hell was you doing, Cozy? First, the Fat Boys break up and that is.
Yeah. I had a good Christmas early, and then like Cozy, we were in the ER with my girl's mom. Everything's good, back to normal. But it was my first time in a Christmas in the ER, so that was. But the cool thing about it, the hospital was super nice. I was like, and then I don't even want to go there. I don't want to say the depressing thing. I saw a crazy accident on the highway on the way. I'll save it for after.
We'll talk about this.
Bro, I was like, come on, this is fucking Christmas. I'm like, this today is a wild day, but overall, great presents, man. A lot of great Eagles stuff. Yeah. I was asking a lot of people, what was your best Eagles present?
Dude, this if I'm being real with you, this might be the first year in like 15 years where I didn't receive anything Eagles related.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of wild. But we had a Secret Santa with work, and I'm just known as the fucking Eagles guy. And I straight up called them. I was like, don't get me anything Eagles. I have literally every Eagles item you can. I got Eagles spatulas. I got Eagles everything.
No, you don't.
I got like 10 Eagles mugs. I'm like, it's all good, man.
And Mark asks, any additions to the new Eagles gate to the Eagles gate, Prime?
I got plenty of additions. I got some new coasters. I got a new I got a Prime Lego that I got to put together. That's going to be for the cave. And I got some new Eagle signs. Yeah, I got quite a bit of stuff. You know what I mean? So unlike Evan, you can keep on giving me Eagle shit. And
I just got the cozy picture too.
I got one of those niblet, one of those ice makers that makes the niblet ice, the part of the one that you put in the kitchen. You know the delicious ice that after you drink a soda, you can eat the ice and it still tastes like the soda. Thanks, Donnie. She's my girl, Danielle. And I got an air fryer from my friend Nicole.
Air fryers are a game changer, man.
Air fryers are game changers.
I'm trying to maximize my sexy for the next 10 to 20 days. My birthday is in January.
We turn it up.
Yeah, we're gonna.
You trying to catch up to that character on your shirt?
I don't turn up. I don't turn up. I get crunk. Is that what we see? Say just get crunk.
Crunk,
look, we're gonna have a good time.
He said, I get high,
every day.
Yeah,
every day I smoke an ounce and a half. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, because for all three of us, I think we're all off this week, right? We didn't even plan that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
my company did every year.
Now Chris says he got a Randall Cunningham, Kelly Green throwback. You can never go wrong with Kelly Green throwback.
You know what? That reminds me. Shout out to my daughter, man. She got me a Brian Dawkins plaque that has his whole career stats on it.
Awesome.
Found a spot. I made a spot for me to put it. I put it up, and I sent her a picture of it. So that was definitely a...
They were all out of the Hollis Thomas ones?
Definitely out of the Hollis Thomas. They were actually paying me to buy them off of him. Off of them, so, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds like you guys need to go to the jelly school. Do I have to call the jelly school up to... to see if they have a couple of spots open?
Get an ambulance out here.
Hey, that was a good one.
Now, I know we will be doing a preview show for the Saints game. We'll be breaking down the Saints. Obviously, we wanted to recap what we saw over the last game. I didn't want to do it, but we had to do it.
We had to do it. I really didn't want to.
Well, yeah, we could talk about Hollis's stats when he was a Saints. If you guys want to go ahead and just get through the show,
you don't want to talk about those. They were Pro Bowl less. I've never had a season where I had less than 45 to 50 tackles.
Yo, not one time did I doubt you. All right, I'm not doubting you. That's why I said you could fill in the gaps with your stats. All right, because there ain't nothing else to talk about with the Saints.
That is true. Well, it is. We need to kick their ass so our draft position will be better.
What do you mean? We know what we got to do.
You guys know me, too, about where my hate lies in my heart. I mean, this is like the Cowboys week is up here. Taysom Hill week is not far behind, man. I hate me some Taysom Hill. Anytime he comes up, I'd love to see him get put in the dirt.
Yeah. Can we talk about –
tied in now.
Can we talk about what's going on with Russell Wilson right now in the Broncos?
Let's ride, man.
That's right.
Yo, can we talk about how I was looking up that contract the other day? Ooh, Nelly, what a mess. I think their first out is in 2025. They're going to have to pay roughly $50 million to clear $5 million off of their cap space.
His agent knew what they were doing.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is the thing. And so everybody was wondering why would they fire the coach first? Well, if you get rid of Russell, the next few years, you have $170 million in dead cap space. Okay. Not only that, the coach who you hired was not calling the plays at Green Bay. He brings all of his buddies in there to coach. And so this is what I watched him. I was forced to watch them because they were in all the primetime slots. Okay. I don't know what the hell for, though. So if you're watching them, you watch Judy, you watch him on one play. Well, he didn't get the ball. First of all, he was sitting in the corner of the end zone, and when Russ started scrambling, he just stayed in that particular spot. He didn't move around or anything. Second, he takes his helmet off and throws it. That's one 15-yard penalty. Second, he bumps into official. That's actual ejection. He didn't get ejected and a penalty. and the obscenities he was using on his way off the field. It's one thing that you must know when you have a new coach in the, when you're dealing with a new coach, the attention to detail, that type of stuff will not be tolerated. Like you don't, the attention to detail, it's the small things. All that stuff he was doing that brought attention to himself. It wasn't team orientated. And it's like to have that happen this early in his career, this early in his coaching, in his coaching time, and them get their ass whooped 51-14, and they have 15.5 points since 19. That's the lowest they've had since 1971. And you're supposed to be an offensive guy.
And the kicker, they don't even have two first round picks for the next 2 years after exactly. All this nonsense. You can't even crawl your way out of the hole.
And also, when you tie to the coattail of a quarterback like he did Russell Wilson, if he doesn't have success, your ass is gone. And he's on the first thing smoking. And it was so funny because he hired a bunch of guys who didn't have any experience or didn't know what they were doing. And you could tell because when you see it, like case in point, look at the Jacksonville Jaguars from the beginning of the season to now. It's a new coaching staff there. They're getting the guys to believe. A lot of times, the attention to detail is the difference between winning and losing in the NFL. And I didn't realize that till after when Andy Reid came here. When Andy Reid came here, he got rid of Charlie Garner. He got rid of second round pick Jason Dunn, who was a beast at the time, and he just was getting rid of like cats around. And just was like, if you don't want to do what I asked you to do, then we got there's the door for you. It's like, so the little things is what gets teams over the top in the NFL.
In all fairness, what you just described sounded exactly like Chip Kelly as well. Came in and just dismantled the team.
Hey, but you want to know what?
Chip Kelly dismantled the team, but he dismantled the team, fucked up. You get rid of the guy. You get rid of Deshaun Watson, and he's the guy that's really making the engine flow. It's like Deshaun because Watson. Without it. Deshaun Jackson. Deepest apologies. Sorry. Yeah, I was thinking Deshaun. Yeah. Two different people.
Hey, but you want to know
one doesn't need a massage.
You want to know what team's doing well?
What's that?
It's the Philly Sports Strips team.
I want to say thank you for that Christmas trip.
As well. Yeah. If you guys are looking to go on their bus trip to Brooklyn, watch your Sixers whoop on the Nets. That is February 11th. If you're looking to go to spring training, Friday, March 10th, 2023, it's a 3-night trip. And then their second trip to spring training will be March 16th, 2023. But shout out to Philly Sports Trips. And again, like Evan said, their Christmas party at the Sixers was phenomenal.
It was a great time.
I know.
Folks, we were in the upper echelon. So when they were talking about being uppity, they were being uppity too. We were uppity together. So don't let them bullshit y'all about being uppity. They get uppity as well.
Nah.
I had never been up there either. Where we was, I had never been up there. And I've been all over the sixth place.
This guy.
Yeah. Tank had like six cigars at the same time. He had his own section.
He had his own box.
The man had his own section.
Can I help it? Because shout out to the Wooden Indian who provided the cigars. Yes, that's my my guy Dave.
They were fantastic, by the way. I spoke that a few days ago.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, see, guess where their shop is? On 95 Eagle Road. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Those are my guys over there. They brought the cigars. That's why I was able to sit in front of the cigars. And then Bob had got me some tequila so I could sit over there with the cigars.
Nice.
But don't act like y'all talking about something. I'm gonna be uppity. Y'all don't be uppity.
Yo, Hollis had his own waiter.
They didn't even
he had his own waiter.
At the Sixers game, they didn't even mixed with the commoners. I heard somebody say, "Hey, yo, pride before the jump." He turned his head and kept walking.
They know you lying.
Nah, it was a great time. It was one of those times where it's like you've never experienced. But if you never experienced like the game like that before, I had never experienced it like that. Which is, I'm always in the box. I am uppity because I'm normally in the box. I just like the bathroom being right there instead of having to go. Like, I don't even like sitting on the floor.
Evan can relate.
Yeah, because I don't like to, like, even sitting on the floor seats, when you go back and you go to the bathroom, it's like all the way back in the back. You're like, damn. It's like, well, so when you're in the box, the bathroom is right there. Bang. You just like, you just go there, handle your business, and come back and finish watching the game.
Hope y'all wash your hands.
Yeah, you wash your hands.
Well, did you guys see that video on TikTok where they say that all the germs that are
TikTok now?
Yeah. Well, it was went viral on TikTok.
He's got a lot of time on his hands.
It went viral on TikTok. So there's germs in the blowing thing in the dryer.
Yeah, I'm a big paper towel guy myself.
Yeah. So don't use the what do you call it?
I don't use the blower.
Hand dryer. Don't use the hand dryer.
Be careful what you're about to say.
Yo, Drew said Tank's bougie bantan.
Bougie bantan. That's a he's a what's calling. He's a reggae singer. Bougie bantan.
I'm not going to lie, man. When we first got there, I rushed to the rails just to see the court, and yo, it started spinning on me like I've never been up that so damn high. And I go to Evan, and I'm like, yo, I just got dizzy, man. Like that shit was wild.
I've seen that happen before.
Yo,
I've seen
man. That
happen. Todd said, "Fourth and John with the matching varsity jackets, looking like a '90s rap group. The boys, the men, man."
Hey, nobody could do it better.
Voice the man.
No, I want to thank y'all for those. They were nice.
They were definitely nice, man.
Shout out to Blue Mini says Hollis can't be pooping with the jabronis.
No, I can't. I
got to give a shout out to Vince, though, too. I mean, everybody that knows me knows me. And Vince came up to me and he's like, "Hey, I just want to let you know I got the spot over here.
Right over there.
Right there, man. I did that for you." I was like, "Vince, you're my guy."
Hey, Andrew, if you got starter jackets, you let me know, man.
Hell yeah. I'll ask.
Yeah, man. Before we get out of here, man, I know we all got the week off. Anything big you're doing this week? One thing you got to get done this week with the whole week out. I know Tank always got the week off.
I'm
thankful that I got like a 11 day break I'm right in the middle of right now, and but I didn't send an email that I needed to send last Thursday, so I might, you know, open up the laptop tomorrow, send out an email or two. That's my pressing issues right now.
Yeah, okay. Is that all you have to start at 7?
I'm not starting at 7. No, I'm going to start at around noon, and then I'm going to end around 12:05.
You know, my one thing I have to get done is I just started Red Dead Redemption 2. I don't know if you gamers out here.
Yeah, I found out
Prime is also playing Red Dead Redemption 2. Wow. I should not be playing this game because I know it would probably take my life over, but I felt I had to do something to take my mind off of the Dallas Hill. So that's what I'm doing this week.
Well, yeah. I've been maximizing my sexy all week, you know. So, because my birthday's coming up.
I'm glad he threw a Y after that.
Look, maximizing my sexy.
I thought you were going to stop at the sex part. Like, okay, we don't.
Whoa, pause.
Just saying, bro.
Pause. I know we're cool and stuff. We're all in this thing together, but you know, that's kind of personal. I don't. When I perform in a one man show, I don't need nobody else there.
My man Daniel, checking in from Sweden. He's saying post game show at 6 p.m. latest. Listen, Daniel, you have to understand that these Sundays that we're hosting tailgates, they are a freaking grind. About 30 minutes after Gale arrives home, he takes like a 5-hour power nap. I'm not so sure.
He said pre-Saint show at 6 p.m. I am at the tailgate. Pre-Saint at 5:45.
Yeah, he's talking about the pre-Saint show on Thursday, fellas.
Oh.
I thought he was talking about let's get this fucking post game show started 6 p.m. early.
You're like, damn.
He's talking like, about
damn, we gotta clear our fucking head that you know. Cozy, at least take a nap.
Yo, oh god.
Like, what the hell?
No problem. No. Even Daniel said, thanks, Prime. All right, no problem. I got you.
My bad.
Cozy said Tank got a Viagra NIL deal.
Not yet. I don't really need Viagra yet.
You and Frank it. Thomas? No,
it's easy. No. That's the stupidest commercial ever. And your girl will like it too.
Really. His name's Tank too, bro. I mean, Tank and Tank.
Tank, don't let me see you on that goddamn commercial, bro.
Well, money talk bullshit runs the marathon.
Nothing worse than the Jerry Rice commercials, though.
Yeah, not only the Jerry Rice and Brett Welfare Farm. And not only that, have you seen the Frank Thomas commercial with the guy from us and some other
Doug Flutie? Doug Flutie
and Doug Flutie, both of them missing all of their hair.
And
it's like looking like
Andy Van Slyke.
Yeah, Andy Van Slyke. I was like, oh god, seriously. And then he jumped up there with those 12-inch thick bifocals on. I was like, you got to be shitting me. You cannot be selling this many pills.
Cozy says you want to be a tank on the field and in the bedroom.
Damn Skippy.
Before we get out, I just want to give a shout out to Conchi, Conchahawk Italian Bakery. Always holding down the tailgate, always doing beautiful work with their tomato pies.
What about my damn Skippy t-shirt? Well, Philly t-shirts.
Hold on. One second. Shout out to Bud Light, who's
personal? Good. Sorry.
Shout out to Bud Light, who was one of our main sponsors for so many years, always doing the damn thing and supporting the tailgate. Tank, do you want to shout out anything?
I just said it, Philly.
Now it's just radio silence after you know? In the Philly, middle Philly, of our commercials. Now it's radio silence.
PhillyShirts.com to get my damn Skippy t-shirt.
Interruption.
What? Thanks a lot, Dick Cheney. Let's go hunting.
So
I wear orange.
Last word before we get out of here, we'll start with Tank.
Is that like a kick in the dick or something? I'm just wondering. But my last words is I told you Evan. There's a specific reason why I don't really not like Jonathan Gannon. I just don't care for the way you deploy a defense is organized. It's organized chaos, and in those situations. I feel as though we let the team down defensively because our coach didn't put us in an optimal position to get there, especially with what was going on the back end. He kind of let me down. I thought he was going to be the X factor in this game. I thought he was going to just come at them and just turn them a new one. But I told you, in your face.
Still 13-2, pal. Still 13-2.
Exactly. We're still 13-2, though. But we still 13, like he said, we're still 13-2.
And we'll laugh about it after we win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, after we win the Super Bowl, we'll laugh about all this
shit.
Yeah. And then everything is gonna be copacetic. Happy holidays, you guys, Feliz Navidad and all that wee bonbons and all that good stuff. I'm glad you guys had a good holiday. I'm happy to see you guys too. I don't know if you can tell I'm as giddy as a schoolgirl almost.
Primo, last word, Primo.
Nah, listen, man, the Dallas Cowboy game is behind us. It's time to move on. The team made it very clear. They knew what happened. They knew the mistakes that were made, and they're pissed off. Now I feel sorry for the Saints because they're going to really take all that out on them. We're going to talk more about it on Thursday, so make sure you guys stay tuned for the pre-Saints game. Other than that, be safe. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Happy holidays, and go Birds.
Tank, first of all, I just want to address your addressing of me. And I agree that Jonathan Gannon, this was obviously one of the poorer games he's definitely helped scheme for. But like I said, we're sitting here at 13-2. I think it'd be reactionary personally to just sit here after a bad loss like that, a bad defensive performance, and just try and throw him out the door. I think that we've been a solid team all year long, leading. How many sacks have we had the past you know, few weeks. I forget what that stat is, but we've just been absolutely lighting up, even with not sending five. But Jonathan Gannon, it needs to be better. And I think that we played a good team this week. I think that if Jalen Hurts plays, if we have a full, healthy squad, we're the best team in the league. And right. there's no one that can stop us, regardless of who's our defensive coordinator. So let's go, Birds, and we'll see you guys on Thursday.
Yeah, follow your guys' last words. I think just overall, just sitting back and realizing – how much it hurt to catch an L. Like then I was like, you know how weird this is, that it's so weird to catch an L. Like, this is our second L of the season, and I hope it's the last, because it will be
against divisional opponents.
Sorry. Yeah, so it's a matter of you almost forget what losing felt like. So I felt that this weekend. Don't want to feel that again for the rest of the season. But I think you know, it's really about looking forward. Hopefully, you know, Jalen Hurts comes back and settles the ship. I don't really care at the end of the day. I do not care about the MVPs. Like, I care about Super Bowl MVPs. And I really think that's where the focus should be. At the end of the day, we have another game to be excited for. If you're around for a tailgate and you're looking for a good group of guys to tailgate with, we will happily
welcome
you guys in. But we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly. Eagles fly.
Go Birds!